All right, everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. So, you know, it's the story as old as time when it comes to this podcast for my small yet dedicated audience, where I always start things off by saying, man, it's been so long since I've done one of these. Oh, let's take a look at how long it's been. And it's been over a month, so I'm really sorry about that. But there's been a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of stuff to come in the next month. And then hopefully, what I'm imagining is that by the middle-ish or towards the end of October, there will be, you know, an opportunity where I can finally feel like a normal person again and make regular episodes for funsies, for as they say, shits and giggles. So let's get into it. Right off the bat, though, let's talk about the big news, right? Let's get into the fact of the matter. Let's get into the stats. Let's get into the detective's interrogation file, which is, you know, to explain. The point is, I'm just rambling here. The point is that my brand new 2025 stand-up comedy tour kicks off this Sunday, October 12th. So let's give the listeners a reminder of where I will be going and what dates these tickets are going to be listed for, because I did a TikTok live yesterday, and you know what I've realized is that maybe it's an algorithmic issue, but there are, you know, sometimes I go live on different platforms to talk to people in the moment, and there are people who enjoy what I do, and they're very kind, and they're very supportive, but they don't know that I'm even going to be on tour, or they don't know where I'm going. And for me, that's crazy that even after all this time, with all these followers, there are just, you know, just because there's so much content all the time, and I, especially in the last few months, have not made regular, you know, content every single day. Perhaps the algorithm has muted my channel to them, which is a bit unfortunate, but there is good news at the end of all of this. One is that I'm thankful for when I do these lives, there are people who say, oh, where are you going? Are you going to go to this city? What dates are going to be your, what dates are you going to be on tour? And then when I inform them, you know, I believe them when they come back and they say, oh, that's great. I had no idea. I just bought tickets. You know, that's really cool for me. So let me just get this out of the way. So my brand new 2025 stand-up comedy tour, which is an hour of brand new material. It's the Prince of Germany Tour 2025. I am starting this Sunday in Frankfurt on the 12th at the, let me just take off this translation here. I'm going to be in Frankfurt on the 12th at the Jahrhunderthalle, the Jahrhunderthalle, on the 12th. And then next, I was thinking of something just now. What was I going to say about Frankfurt? Oh, I didn't want to forget, Frankfurt has a low ticket warning. So if anyone listening, if any of the three or four of you have a friend in or around Frankfurt, please let them know. It is a low ticket warning. So it's a nice big venue. Let me just take a look here what the most recent sales say so I can know more or less how many tickets are left in this venue. So it's a venue that holds 422, and it is 95% full. So yeah, if you have a friend in or around Frankfurt, please tell them to get their tickets today. Then next on the 13th is Cologne. The venue is called Gloria. Gloria. I mean, I guess it's just like the name, right? Gloria. Gloria in Cologne still has tickets, but it is far over 50% sold out. So there are tickets for sure, but it is looking pretty good. So please get your tickets now before they are gone. Then next we have Hamburg. Hamburg is at the Fabrik. We still have tickets for Hamburg. Something I'm noticing about the north is that Hamburg is the most difficult city to sell tickets in. It's doing fine. It's going to be good. You know, I'm still going to break even or maybe be in the green with Hamburg, but it is the toughest city I've realized. Same with my tour last year. It's just a bit tough to get people to go there. Surprisingly, in the north, I guess just northern folk don't have a good sense of humor, but we'll see. We'll see. But thank you for those who already have their tickets. It's a good number, and I am happy with it, and I cannot wait to perform for all of you. Berlin is almost sold out. So the Kleistsaal Jorania in Berlin has a capacity of almost 300. We are over the 250 mark. So it might sell out quite soon. And we're pretty close to it. Actually, you know, there's a certain amount of tickets that are always set aside for the artist and for the management because there's team members and friends of the team members that you give tickets to. It's, you know, standard procedure. And those tickets, basically, I had a discussion with my booking agent yesterday, and we came to the conclusion that I didn't need as many tickets set aside as they had reserved for me. I will have an opener. Let me just announce my openers too while I have the chance here. Or maybe he's already listed here. Let me see. Yes, yeah. So it's on the website in the show notes. My opener for Berlin is a great comic who recently opened up for a comedian that I'm a huge fan of, the one and only Rory Scovel. I'm a big fan of Rory Scovel and really great American, you know, Southern tone comic, clean comic, really funny guy. And this German comic, I guess when Rory came through Berlin, he opened up for him. His name is Ludwig Beneke. Now, I'm sure that it's Beneke or Beneke. Or it's B-E-N-E-C-K-E. I have trouble sometimes with the pronunciations with names like this. It's probably Beneke, because the E's always sound the same, Beneke. But I always think of the guy from Breaking Bad that Skyler gives all of Walt's money to, you know, Ludwig Beneke. And he will be my opener in Berlin. Very excited about that. Anyway, yes, the tickets are looking really good, really full for that. So please, we were almost completely sold out. And then because I didn't need that many guest list tickets, we put a few more tickets my brain has only been about my show recently, so I'm a bit scatterbrained. Into the register, whatever. Oh my God, who cares? So yeah, get your tickets now for Berlin. Vienna is looking quite good as well. It is not sold out, but it is looking very good. So if you are in or around Vienna for the 21st, please get your tickets now. Innsbruck, I would admit, I think is the toughest one. And I originally did not want to go there. Innsbruck, we are not meeting the sales expectations that I think we all hoped that we would meet. But you know what's interesting about that is we never planned to go there. Going to Innsbruck was never on the original plan, you know, because when you start off in smaller venues, like smaller tours, you stick with major cities because there's the higher chance that in a major city, there's a higher opportunity for, you know, ticket sales because there's, you know, there's more people, and people who live in smaller towns around those major cities, you know, if they don't have to travel too far, maybe they can come too if they want to see you. So last year was 4 shows in 3 cities. It was Merlin, the magic man. It was Berlin, Hamburg, and Munich, and, you know, 2 shows in Munich. This year, we've expanded that quite a bit, and we were not going to go to Innsbruck, but the venue owner of the Maria Theresia in Innsbruck really requested highly, like, we really, 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 really want Jordan to, come here. We think there's an audience here for him. We really want to make this work. And, you know, as a touring performer, as a comedian, you know, music or comedy or whatever, as a touring performer, you know, I look at, like, the ticket sales in a city like Innsbruck, and for sure, it's a bummer. You know, it's a bummer. It's definitely far below what we hoped or expected. And, you know, the only positive being that it's a like the Austria shows and the Zurich show were the only shows on the entire tour where people were going to have to stand like they did on the tour last year, which I really did not want to repeat again. Like, I really didn't want people to have to stand. So every other show is a seated location. The reason why we can't get seated locations easily everywhere is because you are renting the location, right? So that's also why when you think about ticket sales, when you look at, you know, okay, there's this certain cost plus tax, right? I'm not getting that full ticket cost. I think it's like something like $35, which for sure is a lot, and I am so grateful for those who have bought their tickets. I am getting less than half of that, so please don't think that I'm like some, on my second tour, being some like crazy, you know, maniacal, greedy monster. You know, I'm getting less than half for sure. I'm trying to do the math on if it's like a quarter. It's something like that. I think I saw the numbers recently where, like, the overall, like, just plain outright money that comes in from this tour as it is, the amount that I get is something like about a fourth, which is crazy to think about. But, you know, that is just the business. That is just how every concert you've ever seen, comedy or music or magic or otherwise, you are renting the venue. The money that pays the labor costs of the bartenders and the waiters and the janitors and everyone who preps, sets up everything, sets up the chairs, you know, organizes the accounting, if there's a restaurant there, all of that, you know, comes from the ticket sales. So, and then there's the agency fees on top of that. So, Innsbruck is definitely a place where I wish we had more sales. It's the only place on the tour where I've discussed with my booking agent, like, okay, well, we're probably not going to go back there. we might go back there in a few years if things change, but we're not going to, you know, we're not, if we had a guarantee in a sense that, like, we went there and we had a better feeling of what the audience was like there, we might go back. But this is the one place on the tour that is really not worth me buying my own train tickets to every single city and my own hotels for every single city. So another thing people don't really recognize is, like, not only do you, on these tours, you rent, like, your agency rents the venue. So, you know, like I said before, you're paying the money for the cost of the labor, the lights, the bartender, you know, you're renting the, for a certain amount, the space, right? To have everything ready for the performance. And then me, as the artist, out of pocket, from my own account, I'm paying for every single train ride to Frankfurt, from Frankfurt to Cologne, from Cologne to Hamburg, from Hamburg to Berlin, from Berlin back to Munich to come home, then Munich to Vienna, then Vienna to Innsbruck, then Innsbruck back home to Munich, and then Munich out to Zurich, and then Zurich back to Munich. I paid for all those. I already booked all my trains, all my hotels, and all of that, you know, costs a lot of money. You know, I got the cheapest trains and the cheapest hotels, but still, at the end of the day, it's what, you know, 8 cities? So Innsbruck was definitely a bit of a bummer, but, you know, you live, you learn, and at the end of the day, I know that this show is good. I believe in this show, and I don't often say that. I don't have an ego about it because it's always a learning process. I know that there will be shows where I thought things would be funny and they didn't land, and some things I thought wouldn't be funny that would land that I have to kind of digest and make notes about and, you know, work on it later, because that's how it is. Performing is like a constant shifting glacier, you know? But then after that, I come back to Munich on the 25th, and with Munich, I'm very happy to say that I'm doing an early show and a late show on the same day, which some friends have said, like, oh my God, doesn't that sound exhausting? But I'm kind of excited about it, you know? Because the last tour, even though it was significantly smaller, it was less than half as many cities, doing like a show in the evening and then waking up and knowing that you have another show in the evening in the same place, I felt, in my head at least, a bit more exhausted thinking about that, because you have to, like, it's almost like a time loop, like a Groundhog's Day thing. You have to go back and do the same thing again. In this case, at least, it's a really nice venue. It's a seated theater. Each performance holds 620, 630 people. The early show is at 5:30. You know, I wanted to have a show that would work for, you know, maybe some parents who don't have a babysitter, or, you know, have a sibling or someone that can watch the kids for a bit and can come see it. And then I wanted a late show that could be a bit more loose and relaxed. And the early show is sold out. So that's great. It's like 600 something. That's sold out. And the late show is almost sold out. It's quite close. So for those who, you know, live, again, in or around Munich, who have not gotten their tickets for the 25th, the early show is completely sold out. A lot of friends are going to go, friends and family and everything, they're going to go to the early show. And the late show is very, very close to being sold out. So I'm very thankful for that, that there's enough, you know, people in Munich that are willing to spend that money. Again, I apologize that it's 35 or whatever, 37. I don't, with tax, it's crazy to me. And that could have had an impact on ticket sales in certain cities. And I just want to emphasize, one, that I am just so extraordinarily grateful that I have enough people in my circle, like in my fan base, that would pay that money, because I understand that is a lot to ask for. Being a musician for the majority of my life, I think, you know, whenever I would hold a show in New Orleans or smaller venues in Munich, I think I never asked more than like 10 or 15. So I get that that's a lot. The problem being that, like, now that I'm more familiar with the business, I have to emphasize that I am getting like a fourth of that. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to be in a bigger place where there is where people can sit down. You know, that's also the issue, is like in Germany, like, the comedy scene is not enormous. So if you want to get places where people can sit down and relax and, you know, put their feet up or whatever, like, that just costs more. That's why last year's tour, even though it was small, was all rock venues, because I was asking people to stand for an hour and 10 minutes or whatever. And then I go to Zurich, and Zurich's also surprisingly better than I thought it would. Let me drink some water here. I can hear my smicky smacky mouth here. Sorry. Like, Zurich's doing better than I thought it would. Innsbruck was the big surprise, because they asked us to book it. So that was a bit of a bummer that's the lowest place to go to. But Zurich is a big surprise. That's doing really well. I'm very happy with that. And I'm glad that it's doing so well because Zurich is the most expensive place on the planet, probably. It's so expensive. And Switzerland is so crazy. And I'm happy to, you know, I think Zurich's going to be maybe the most fun because in Munich, I'm doing two shows in the same day and I'm filming them both for my next like YouTube special. So much like the one that I have on my YouTube now from the last tour, I'm doing it in Munich at this seated location, and it should look really nice. It should be really cool. And so Zurich will be the last show of the entire tour, and it's going to be after the filmed performance. So for me, it should be like crazy relaxed. It should be really, really fun. In general, when I look at the numbers here, Frankfurt is very full. Berlin is very full. Munich is very full. And then after that, you're looking at like Zurich is quite good. And then let me see. So Zurich and then Cologne after that. And then Vienna and then Hamburg and then, yeah, and then Innsbruck. Innsbruck is the bottom for sure. But you know what? I think we're going to come out on the plus for this. I wanted to start this to just talk about like, as a reminder that there are shows coming up in 3 days. My God. Oh! If you listen to this when it comes out on the 9th, yeah, there's 3 days. 3 days. Wow. I just looked at the clock and it said 11 a.m. And then immediately in my brain, I thought, oh my God, it's 11 at night. That's how like scattered I feel right now. I think that's a big thing to keep in mind too for those who maybe pursuing performing arts. Man, what a roller coaster the last couple of months have been. And I'm so grateful for them, but I'm seeing the challenge and I'm digesting the emotional toll that it takes, the spiritual toll that it takes. Because I know that when I get on the road on Sunday, and I start, you know, I'm on the train with my suitcase or whatever, and I'm on the way to a show, I know that that's going to be fun. I love touring. I know that that's going to be fun. I know that. But I have to admit, the last couple of months, I think I've been so jam-packed with things that I wasn't necessarily recognizing in the moment what kind of toll it takes on the heart or on the soul, you know, because on top of preparing for this show and trying to make it as funny and engaging and personal as I could possibly make it, because you have to understand, doing a podcast could not be more different from a completely scripted hour-long stand-up show. So it's like doing, you know, like a Hamlet monologue, but funny, hopefully. And then that is also completely different from doing the book, which, yes, the book came out September 25th. I've had some friends in different countries in the States or in Australia or whatever. Some nice fans in the UK who have been posting about having received the book, and I've had a lot of very nice feedback here about that book. I'm going to get into that, but just to finish my first thought, there's a lot of emotional toll that goes into doing this. I think I've realized that this year, I would say between July and the start of October, or no, to be more realistic, it's going to be until the beginning of the tour, because once this tour starts, I'm going to be fine. But I would say from July until 3 days from now, there's something, I think I overloaded it because I had my parents visiting which was great. I was very happy to see them. But I felt bad because, you know, we had to work so much. It was the most high-pressure crunch time. You know, if they had come in this time window last year or next year, you know, or whatever, it would have been completely different because right now they literally visited as the book had been released. So the promo work for that is intense. The pressure to, you know, advertise it is at an all-time high. There's Oktoberfest, which was kind of the main reason that we, you know, encouraged them to visit during this time window. We'd organized a table at Oktoberfest and all of the tracht for my dad and, you know, asked friends that we liked to come and have a good time and party with us, which, you know, on paper sounds great. And I'm really happy we did that. I had a really, really, really fun time. But it was all the stuff around that of, you know, you want to be a good host. You want to make sure that everyone's having a good time. You want them to feel like, even though it's just cold weather and rain and you're working constantly, that you're happy that they visited. But that's such a tough thing to do because you're like, I'm so sorry. I need, you know, the 3 or 4 hours this morning to manage what's coming up, you know? And I keep veering off of the microphone, sorry. But I just, yeah, it was a big weight on the soul a bit because just because of guilt. Like, I know that my mom would not like to know that I felt so guilty. And she would tell me, don't be ridiculous. It was so nice. It was just great to be at your house. I know. But let me get some water here. There's just, it was just this, you know, really tight combo of like, I want to be a good host. I want them to have fun. I want them to see things. I want to take them to Oktoberfest. And we did twice, but still, in addition to all, like, every little minute around that was sort of like a balancing act of, oh, you know, how much freedom can we, you know, like, or how much time away from them is a reasonable amount for me to do my work where they don't feel that I've invited them to just sit around somewhere else and have done all that traveling for nothing, you know? So it was definitely like a stressful feeling, and just in pure terms of guilt, because it was great to see them and I had a lot of fun with them, but I felt bad that I couldn't do more because I know how expensive it is to travel, and I know how exhausting it is for my mom, you know, especially. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I just know how exhausting it can be, you know. So there was that, and then finishing the book. And the book is, for me, like, such an accomplishment. But I think that maybe this is like such an off-kilter podcast, because part of me is, I'm proud that it's finished, but I it's another thing for me to worry about in terms of how it will be received, how it will sell. So you have like, okay, I'm hosting my parents. I want them to have fun, but I can't spend that much time with them, which makes me feel bad. And oh, the book is out, so I have to worry that's going to sell, because I really hope it does, because I really, really, really hope, you know, people like it, and, you know, I want people to, you know, I don't know, enjoy it, and I want my friends to like it, and I want it to get some traction, and then, oh, but of course I can't spend too much time on, you know, worrying about my parents or the book release, because right now I have this enormous, you know, comedy tour, the biggest one I've ever done, coming up, and I really need to focus on memorizing the comedy and making sure it's the best that it can be. It was all of that during Oktoberfest all at once. It was really, you know, I'm so happy my parents came, and I'm so happy we were able to show them Oktoberfest. So that's definitely something my preferable window would have been, I wish it would have been just a completely relaxed window of time where I could have taken my parents to Oktoberfest, two or three times, traveled around with them, shown them things in Munich, and not had to worry about the book release and the tour on top. And now they've left, and, you know, I'm curious as well what they will say about the book. My mom, you know, had understandably, you know, doesn't like the graphic language or the vulgar humor, and I understand that. That's my mom. That's not her thing. I get that. I'm curious if my dad will read it. The thing is, it's such a goofball, silly book that I don't think there's anything too harsh in there where he would write me and say, you know, the thing is, it's such a silly, goofy book that I can't imagine that it would like stir the pot at all with him. But I don't know. My dad's the only one who I know has the book that I've heard nothing from. So that's also on my mind a bit because I'm about to go on this tour and I would love to know that there's some support there, if that makes sense. But I don't know. You know, I'm not going to pressure him. I'm not going to write him. I'm not going to be like, hey, you have to tell me what you think. You know, my mom's reading it. She told me what she thinks. You know, she told me what things she thought was funny. She also told me that she didn't love the, you know, bad language. I get that. I understand that. Of course she wouldn't. Why would she? You know, she's a sweetheart. So, but, you know, my brother just got the book. I'm curious what he will say about it. You know, we'll see. We'll see. But it's just so much going on because there's the pressure of, I want my parents to have a good time. Then there's the, oh my God, there's the pressure of, I really hope that my friends and family, you know, like this book. And I hope that, you know, that it sells well. And then, okay, next. Oh, I have this tour coming up. I really hope that I can memorize all this stuff and that it's funny and that people like me. And it's just this curse of like, oh, I have chosen this career of, you know, I've chosen the career path of making a career out of hoping people like me. And that's really the dumbest thing I could have ever done. It sucks. It sucks to make a career out of hoping people like you. Don't do it, kids. Don't do drugs and don't make a career out of hoping people like you. It's so tough. It's so cruel. It's so cruel. But at the end of the day, I think they overall had a nice time here and it was nice to see Oktoberfest. I know that there was some drama. There was like a bomb threat and like this, I think, did a car explode or something? I think a house burned down. That's so crazy to me. And let me see here. And then last weekend was nice because I did a little bit of traveling, getting out of Munich and just, you know, seeing some different people, getting my mind off of things a bit, you know, just focusing, like, you know, taking an hour here or there to just run my show, get the vibe, you know, get the feeling for it, make the corrections that I thought could be, make things better, you know. And it's a crazy time. I'm looking forward very much to, it sounds awful, but like, I'm really looking forward to when this tour is over because I think the whole thing with the book and the parents and the Oktoberfest and the tour, it's been a lot on me. And I also have not had the opportunity to leave home very often, which I think is extraordinarily important. You should not stay home so much. I'm realizing I'm home too much. Whenever I just have a brief opportunity to just drive into the main part of Munich, you know, either on the train or, you know, in a car and just park it somewhere and just walk around, see people, see the town, get a vibe for like what's going on, go get a coffee from someplace, get a pastry, you know, just listen to the sounds, see an ambulance drive by, you know, see a flower shop, you know, look at some stuff like window shop. It just gives you like a bit more of a, it's in a sense, it's like meditative. It's kind of like, oh, whew, okay. So, because I think that to be true, because when you're home too much, your world kind of becomes this very small box, if that makes sense. And it, It's not good for you. I think I've been home too much, too. Yeah, well, it doesn't help that the weather had been so extremely cold and rainy and cold and rainy and cold and rainy. But, you know, now it's getting better, and the leaves are turning orange and red. It's turning out to be a very beautiful fall here in Munich, so maybe I should just get out more. And I really didn't intend on this being like a depressive sounding recording. I just basically like got into my head too much, but I wanted to say that I'm so grateful that my parents made the effort. I'm always grateful when they make the effort to come here and be a part of my life, because that means a lot to me. And my brother has made, you know, statements about coming next year, and that would just be the most beautiful thing ever. So with all of that in mind, sorry for the full-on ramble here, and I'm sorry if it was a little bit too, not negative, but just a bit too serious. But, you know, that's what this podcast is for, just being earnest and on the table and true to heart. But I'm so grateful my parents were here. I love my parents. I love you, Mom. I know you're listening. And I'm very excited for this tour. You know, the tour is, like, honestly, I think professionally speaking, nothing brings me more joy on this planet than being on a stage. Music did that for me until it didn't, and maybe it's going to come back and do that. Comedy really does that for me. Being able to look out into the crowd and get the instant gratification that someone understands me, that they understand my point, that they relate to it, they sympathize with it, it makes them laugh, means so much, because human connection and, you know, relatability is just so important. You have to talk to people. You have to, when jokes communicate something that someone relates to and goes like, oh my God, I do that. Oh, that's so me. There's no better feeling, because they laugh so hard. They laugh from the heart. And it just reminds you that, like, you're not alone, and that everything is connected, and we're all just trying to get through this really weird roller coaster of existence. And it's really beautiful if you really, you know, if you think about it that way. And I choose to, because I think that's how it actually is. With that being said, I'm going to wrap it up here. I know it's short, but whatever. It's my podcast. I have to go pick up a mattress from some eBay Kleinanzeigen, whatever. But look, I love you guys. I really appreciate that you listened. I hope it wasn't too depressing, but I didn't mean it to be, but I just got in my head. But it's all good. I'm really happy to be on this tour. If you guys are going to be in Frankfurt, Cologne, Hamburg, Berlin, Vienna, Innsbruck, Munich, or Zurich, please go get your tickets. It starts, if you're listening to this on the 9th, it starts in 3 days in Frankfurt. I would love to see you. I'm promoting my new book, Prince of Germany. It's bilingual. It's English and German. And I'm going to be in your city, and I always do meet and greets after every single performance. So with that in mind, go to the show notes, get your tickets, get the tickets to the show, because you can get the book in person at the shows, and I can sign the books. We can take a picture. We can have a hug. How about that? Thank you so much, guys, for listening, and hope to see you on the tour. Otherwise, I will do a podcast when this tour is done, or hopefully somewhere in between, and I can let you know how it's going. I love you guys deeply, madly, truly, deeply, and I hope you're going to have a great week, and we'll speak soon. Bye-bye. Look out, baby, the saints are coming through, and it's all over now, baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.